This podcast is from heptagonclub.co.uk and paulcarenza.com. The Heptagon Club.
Heptagon Club.
Heptagon Club with Paul Carenza. 7 guests, 7 corners.
On this week's show,
I actually live in a borough which has the highest percentage of Muslims in the country.
Dibley's more of a documentary where we are.
Yeah. I got barred from Avis Rent-A-Car for life.
And your host,
Mr. Paul Carenza.
Hello and welcome to the Heptagon Club. This is episode 7, the Hepta episode of the Heptagon Club. In ancient days, the seventh son of the seventh son became a wizard or a state agent or something. So that means this podcast will, I don't know, bend time or cure scurvy or something like that. Well, there will be a time distortion in that we normally pop up on your feed every 2 to 3 weeks. But this is the last episode of series 1 of the Heptagon Club. Because A, the editing alone of this podcast takes for blooming ever. And I do everything. So each series had to be finite. And point two, a 7-part series seemed appropriate, thanks to James Carey for that suggestion, so blame him. James Carey is a writer we have to get on next series, and he has the very excellent Sitcom Geeks podcast. Do go and listen there, in our absence, by all means. So yes, we will be back, but I don't know when. I like to think later in the year, summer, perhaps, but knowing me, that means autumn. It depends on other work, to be honest, because if you didn't notice, this earns me £0. It costs. So if you fancy luring us back sooner, help us out with hosting costs, the recording device fund, even the travel to go and drag our guests along. We do have now 2 ways you can support us. We have a donate button. It's at heptagonclub.co.uk, right-hand side of each page. Or even further than that, if you're a hardcore fan, I mean a hardcore fan of this podcast, not a fan of hardcore. Anyway, there is an opportunity to become a patron. There's a Become a Patron button at the top of heptagonclub.co.uk. It's green, and you could support us more regularly in exchange for rewards. So on-air thanks from our top guests, tickets to shows, you can name parts of the show, that sort of thing, plug your cause even. Either way, the end of the series feels like a good time to take the time to go and do this, so please do give it some thought. Donate button lower down the page, Become a Patron button at the top. Meanwhile, not live from Guildford in Surrey, 7 more guests for you this week, including 3 comedians, 2 Anglican vicars and a Muslim writer and broadcaster. The comedians, who are all comedians, but so what? I'm gender blind, you know, are Rosie Wilby, Abby Roberts and other names to be announced by my butler, Dribbles.
Juliet Burton, the journalist Abdul Rahman Malik, Reverend Kate Botley and Reverend Richard Coles.
The TV vicars, Botley and Coles. Can you believe it? Botley and Coles. I'm sure that's a Victorian double act. I once saw a Greenbelt Festival, fantastic Greenbelt Festival, Kate Botley, Richard Coles and Giles Fraser. Fraser, Botley and Coles. If that's not the name of a shoe shop or a mid-range lawyer company in Farnham, I don't know what is. This week, though, no Fraser, but we do have the Reverend Kate Botley later on. But first, here is Reverend Richard Coles.
Guildford, I like Guildford.
Guildford's nice.
I learnt to trampoline in Guildford.
Really? Was that what recently? Or was that...
Because there's... 1970s.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we got a brand new trampoline park just opened,
really?
So I thought, wow, that
must
be...
at the university.
Okay.
So, I think it was. Yeah, a bloke told me how to do trampoline.
Oh, really?
On a court. How about the that? Only sport I've ever had a natural gift.
Is that right, really?
Yeah.
There should be a little blue plaque there.
This is where you learnt to trampoline.
The trampoline.
I couldn't do it now.
But
the wobbling would be too... There'd be some terrible butterfly wing effect at various points.
Well, we've got this new trampoline park with trampolines on the walls as well as the floors now. So whenever you fall, you just keep bouncing, it seems.
Really?
Which is like one giant padded cell of...
The child inside.
Yeah.
The adult wouldn't be able to cope with it.
There were a lot of children inside that one.
Recently, way too recently, I went on a roller coaster for my godson. I used to love roller coasters. I haven't been on one for years. I went on it and I thought, I'm really past this.
Yeah, yes,
it's
yeah.
really bad. I feel like I've been beaten up.
I've not been on a roller coaster since I was kicked out of Chessington for mucking about.
What did you do?
I was only about 26. We just went for a little jolly, but we went on all the rides because it was like out of turn time. And myself and 2 friends, and we got one of those giant beakers that you can buy for £4 and refill.
Yeah.
And we went on Professor Burp's Bubble Works. And as soon as we're out of view of the system, just put all the beakers in the water and just soaked each other, the rides. Not a boat, deliberately, but I think a few did get splashed as well. And at the end, there were 2 security guards waiting to escort us to the car park.
Oh, really?
And we said, that's fine, we've had a lovely day. Lead us away, we'll never come back.
So they were okay.
They were okay. I'm probably on the blacklist still, so I don't know. I might try again one day, sneak in.
I got barred from Avis Rent-A-Car for life.
Really? Yeah. Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
For life, wow.
For life.
They're harsh.
I don't know that they probably wouldn't mind now, but that was in Ibiza in 1990.
I was going to say about Hertz, but that's a different car company, isn't it? That's not good.
Good with Hertz.
Dare I ask what you did to be banned for life? Or
it was a car, two Jeeps, and I think a scooter.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the summer of love and writing off other people's cars.
Oh dear, that's unfortunate.
Right off.
Yeah.
Seemed like a good idea.
The first of our seven guests, more of Reverend Richard Coles. Shortly, from a former communard to someone who brushed with Britpop, Rosie Wilby has supported Bob Geldof, Jamie Cullum, and gigged with all sorts of Britpop stars of the 90s. And Abby Roberts is a cabaret singer. Both turned from music to comedy, and both heeded my call when I invited comedians to the Heptagon Club. Any two could have RSVP'd for this week, and chance has brought them back together. Rosie and Abby.
Hey!
Hey!
This is a dual conversation. Rosie Wilby, Abby Roberts, hurrah!
Hello!
Hey!
Is it a dual? D-U-A-L or dual?
Well, we'll find out, won't
like
we?
Like a diamond.
That would be
glowing.
Nice.
Yes.
I say, I thought it meant like a duel as in,
sword
fight kind of thing. Could well be. Could
Oh, that's true.
So have you two gigged together before? Is this
many years ago. I think it was probably when we were more newbies.
Yeah,
like maybe
newbies.
A decade ago when I was starting. I really remember.
Yeah.
I will leave him to catch up on though, as I offer a vol-au-vent to
Reverend Richard Coles.
Ah yes, Stribbles the butler there again. We featured him, I think, in episode one, and then rarely since. No one seems to have missed him, but if that's you, then do leave a message on our Heptagon Club Facebook page by all means. I should say, actually, he retired soon after episode one because, robot butlers, it turns out, very difficult to house train, by which I mean getting him to introduce our guests each week, only really doable when the website operating him is still functioning. So had a bit of a problem since about episode two. So there you go, that's the inside scoop on Dribbles, the robot butler, silenced thanks to a website. Hope that helps.
You've probably got the more unusual story than most priests, I would have thought, but the Richard Coles of yesteryear and the Richard Coles of today, is it a different person or much in common? Or I was reading this thing about every 7 years we regenerate ourselves, and so none of us are the same as 8 years ago, but I don't know, if how do you see it? Do you sort of see a...
I suppose a mixture of things, discontinuity, but more continuity, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are certain... It's the Jesuit boast of those, show them the child of seven and they'll show you the man. Or give them the child of seven and they'll show you the man. And I think there's something in that. I think, as I'm now in my 50s and I look back, I have further to look back than forward, probably, then you begin to see certain shapes and patterns that repeat and realise that that's... I mean, it comes to... When I was young, I didn't want to be like my parents. Yeah. And then I realised I was like my parents. Yeah. And now I realise I am my parents.
Right. So
you see that there are certain givens, I think, in life.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And also, you know, I've always been a performer. Mm. I've always been given to preaching, whether invited to or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think those are consistent things.
Yeah, do you think it was inevitable then, when you became a priest, that you would be broadcasting, those, were you sort of drawn to that?
No, not at all. I thought it was goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And when I left the BBC in 2003 to go to, having had 10 very happy years there, I thought I was shaking that dust from my shoes and that my sort of life on the microphone was over and that would be done. I thought it was interesting about Rev. Why was Rev such a success? Why did it have such the impact it had? Well, partly because it was so well done. But also, I think, because people were fascinated by the character. Someone who's made this commitment and has given their... devoted their life to trying to live in a certain way.
I had a vicar sitcom nearly at the BBC, and they said Vicar of Dibley's too recent, give it another 5 years. And then a year later, Rev's like, oh, I should have waited 6 months. There was you've got to ride that wave, you see.
Timing,
you've got to ride
everything.
That wave, that's all it's all about, isn't it? But,
annoying, but I'm sure, but, you know, there'll be another.
It's in the draw, you know, it's all right. Rewrite, Baptist minister, you know. Yeah. On the comedy front then, because I've not been on panel shows, I've done a couple of radio panel shows, but not anything on the TV, but I know a lot of comedians who when they go on a panel show, they sort of take that big deep breath and go, right, here we go. You know, particularly, I suppose, the more Mop the Week or maybe Have I Got News for You.
It's quite a daunting prospect, particularly when you realise that, you know, you're the Daniel in the Den of the Lion, the Fierce Daniels.
Yeah, it's true.
And that they are, you know, their professional job is to make people laugh.
Yeah.
If you've got a dog collar on, of course, you're halfway towards a laugh before you even say anything.
Right,
so that's good. And I have I go hot and cold on it, actually. Some I like, and the more bear pit ones, I don't particularly want to do them.
No.
Although I would say, I mean, I generally think when it comes to media, you should say yes to everything, apart from the things you absolutely cannot possibly say yes to.
Now, Rosie and Abby are ex-musicians, now comedians, a comedian. Well, you don't say musicians, do you? So it's comedians, musicians. Neither are called Ian.
Basically, I went down the cabaret route. Let's put 10 songs in to basically cover up the fact that I didn't have any stand-up material.
Right, right.
And then 5 years ago, I realised that actually having 20 minutes of stand-up was better than having like a little tiny bit of talk and then a song and then, you know.
That's almost that was a kind of reverse of what I did, because before I did comedy, I was a singer-songwriter. Yeah. Not so much cabaret stuff, but wistful, acoustic-y, you know, lady with guitar. But I used to chat between the songs and people said, oh, you know, you're really funny in between the songs. And I thought, are they just polite? So I kind of did the reverse and had songs cut them out. But then you've done that as well now.
And I did that mainly because, to be honest, I thought... the money wasn't great.
Right,
he
says, right, okay.
Sounding like a real, you know, pretending that comedy isn't about capitalism. Well,
of course, absolutely, exactly. I know. We sort of fight it from the stage, and actually, how much is this? Come on,
let's stick it to the man.
I know, exactly.
Whilst being given a brown
cash in hand, thank you.
Cash in hand.
Do you do music on stage with your comedy and cabaret things?
Not
pieces
because people used to. If I said, "Can we put a CD in?" You'd see the tech guy.
Oh, I know. That's
in the club going.
You can see them coming.
The eyes roll.
Yes.
You know where they say, well, what's the cue? Is the cue going to be right?
Yes.
And of course, if it's not right, then it's like the audience looking at their watches. So it was it was actually almost out of what's the word? Yeah, born out of necessity. I've just got to focus on comedy.
Yes,
but I still put snippets of music in, but with just my voice and my body, I can be a jazz band all on my own.
Well, and it saves having the tech involved, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, you don't want that.
It's true, actually. I had a moment at when I opened my show at Brighton Fringe this year, and there was a moment where a queue was taking forever, and I was just like filling.
Have you done music in your
I did. I did a show in 2012, which was based on my music career and a column I used to write in a big free music magazine called Making Music. And I used to do this show called I used to do this column called Rosie's Pop Diary about my exploits as a young, naive 20-something in London, getting a band together and trying to sort of find my way on the music scene in those sort of heady Britpop days. When Camden was abuzz with bands like Blur and so on, and so I wrote a lot about my adventures at that time and turned it into a show with sort of some of the old photos of me and my band, and you know, even what was it, 20 years later, you can laugh at your clothes then and you're like, oh my goodness,
what was I thinking?
And you know, I talked about going to the internet cafe like that was very exotic,
asking Jeeves and,
asking Jeeves
Alta Vista.
I think it's really interesting how many comedians would quite like to be musicians. There's
absolutely
a lot of crossover stuff.
They
want to be a professional musician, but maybe they didn't. They were like, I didn't quite get there.
Well, it's interesting when you sort of you turn your back on the music sort of thing to a degree, but you know, always keep it in, I suppose. Because I've for years whenever I do an Edinburgh show, I always put a song in. I can't sing for toffee. I can't play a musical instrument. But I've got a backing track and I'm warbling away through something. I put words to some, you know, old famous tune or something. I wish I could sing or play an instrument and I can't, but it doesn't matter because it's my show and you've got to listen to it.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing.
We've got them in. And,
you know, exactly. All these frustrated, you know, we're all frustrated performers who actually perform, but then you end up going, right, well, come on, you know.
You can still be a rock star and do comedy. I mean, that's the thing. You can still have that kind of, that you'd have if you were singing a good rock number.
What I like to do is actually I use a lot of music as part of a texture. And the new show I've got a lot of Richard Hawley running underneath because it's a story about me and my ex, and we were really into Richard Hawley.
Right.
And so it's kind of, and for me, music was always a way to capture a different set of emotions. Because when you're doing a stand-up set at a club, you know, it's really, the objective is quite clear. You've just got to make people laugh, haven't you? So I quite like in a solo show having a bit of a different tapestry of emotions and a bit more of a roller coaster. And music does that so well, whether you sing or whether you've got just a bit of a classic song
it doesn't matter.
That comes on in the background.
There's more info on our fab guests if you Google them or indeed ask Jeeves. Ah, Jeeves, yet another web butler silenced along with our very own dribbles. That's the true jobs tragedy, internet butlers. No work for them since blooming Google came along. And anyway, here's another comedian, mainstay of the Edinburgh Fringe, and she'll be back there this year. It's Juliet Burton.
I'm lucky because I stay with family up there now, which is awesome. So I can even stay, even if I'm stopped performing, I can still stay on.
So you stay with family in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Are you kind of planting people all over the world that you can stay with when needed? Is
yeah.
that the idea?
If I become friends with you, I will be staying with you on your couch at some point.
Yeah. Well, I stayed with a promoter. You know, I don't know if you do this thing of going, right, okay, I'll stay on floors. And then you go, okay, I'm beyond floors now, sofas plus. Yeah. And then after a while you go, no, forget sofas, I'm too old, I want beds now. I want beds, you know. And I drew the line at floors where I stayed on a promoter's floor, and it's a kitchen floor, a lino, because the carpet was taken or something.
Wow.
And
that would have been cold.
And the promoter's wife came back at 2 o'clock in the morning from night shift from nursing. And I opened the freezer to get some bread out for toast and banged my head with the freezer door. And I'm thinking, this is no longer the life of comedy that I dreamt of. This is, you've got to draw the line somewhere, haven't you?
It's not glamorous.
It's not glamorous, is it? You know? So I hope you get better than that when you stay with people.
I hope so too. I will report back.
Good.
I don't know.
No kitchen lino.
I think it could be a party house.
Okay.
And I'm not really a party girl.
Right.
I'm more of a bed socks and hot water bottles and early o'clock kind of girl. Watching Gogglebox. It's one of the best programs because I still remember when somebody first explained what it was to me. I did what people do, which is, oh my god, that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
People watching television and we're watching people watching television. No, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant because it's so human, and it's the best and sometimes the worst, but mainly the best. I think it's mainly what unites us as humans when they all cry at a certain moment and you're like, yes, actually that TV can be a uniting force. Brilliant. It's so good.
I think Gogglebox, it succeeded Harry Hill's TV Burke as like the package show of, you know, if you miss this week on TV, you can see it there in better form.
Yes.
But I think Gogglebox is better because it's real and it's human.
If you've been out having a life this week and you wanted to know what was good on TV, then watch this.
From Gogglebox then, let's visit this rather funky corner, for that read it could be noisy, to share the sofa with TV presenter, tea drinker, Reverend Kate Botley, who has like three parishes.
Well, I look after three really rural churches, so Dibley's more of a documentary where we are.
So
I do that, and I also look after a further education college, so plumbers, plasterers, builders, hairdressers, those kind of people.
Yeah.
And I do things like, when their mum and dad have kicked them out, I help them find somewhere to live, so I listen here, which is just brilliant, because when you've judged your 15th scarecrow competition in the parish, or you've had a look at the 17th rudely shaped vegetable, then you know that you've got, you know, Carl and Keely to spar with in the college. So that's really good fun.
And it's one that's called Scrooby, isn't it?
Which is
one of the funniest name places
isn't
in the
it
world.
Brilliant? So I look after Blythe, Scrooby and Ranskill.
That is an estate agent.
Absolutely crazy. And what's brilliant about Scrooby is a tiny little village, so there's about 150 people live in Scrooby.
Right.
So we get 10 to church on a good day.
Okay,
which in percentage terms is enormous. But at Scrooby, when they have a party, they call it a Scrooby-Doo.
Nice, of course they do.
Of course
they
do. They
embrace it.
Of course they do.
That's good.
Of course they do. Yeah, so there's a whole heap of that. In fact, when I get back, it's their annual sort of end of the summer fete. I'm judging the cake competition, so I have to get myself ready for the hate mail and people slipping me tenners in the pub, and that can live with
that. That's good. That's all right.
I haven't paid for a drink in 4 years in any of those pubs.
That's what you're going to do. Invite the vicar, go, drinks in. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
In fact, one of the pubs in the village where we live, you can get our Wi-Fi from the back garden. And sometimes I'll text them if I'm setting off for a walk down to the pub, and by the time I get there, the beer's on the end of the bar.
You've got it made,
haven't
you?
Honestly, living the dream. I'm living the dream.
I might get one day. This sounds all right.
Try not to. Read it if you can.
As long as possible. So you and I both do pausings for sorting.
We do.
How should I do it? What's your advice?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
You're like the guru of pausing.
No, that's what I said to Richard Coles earlier.
No, I remember the other week Chris Evans saying to you, this is the best one I've ever read. I remember that.
He said this was the best one of mine. Oh. Isra, so, you know,
that it was
about
sleepless nights, wasn't it?
Nearly
I remember it.
But,
yeah. No, it's absolute. Yeah, I mean, what's really scary for me, and I don't know about you, is I script very little things in my life.
Right.
So I'm a real kind of just stand up and talk. So even sermons, you know, I very rarely, I mean, I know what I kind of want to say, I know the points I want to make, but I would never script. So to sit there with a script is quite weird. I'd much rather riff, but of course, you know, that's a little bit flying by the seat of your pants. But the scariest bit I find with Chris Evans is the bit before you do your pause for thought, because you've no idea what he's going to ask you.
I know.
And of course, he's completely in control of everything, isn't he? And that's how he does it.
So yes, I do the Pause for Thought slot on the Chris Evans Radio 2 Breakfast Show. It's just a 2-minute inspirational, a bit religious slot, just before the travel at the end of the show. So it advises you which way to go in life before Lynn Bowles tells you which way to go off the M1. We've got a few fellow Pause for Thoughters this week, of different backgrounds. This is writer, speaker, all-round brilliant egg, Abdul Rahman Malik.
Yeah, we both do the Pause for Thought thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've just seen Richard Coles, Kate Botley.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, and it's...
I saw Richard Coles from far away earlier.
Yes, it's like our sort of annual get together.
Are you on the Evans show as well?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah, wonderful.
So normally it's Richard Coles gets the Fridays, gets the guests. You know,
I've been lucky as well.
Who have you had then? Who have you met on the? Give me some.
It's been a lot actually. I met Genesis.
Oh yeah, okay.
So Phil Collins and Rutherford and the gang were there.
Excellent.
Kerry Mulligan.
Oh really?
I was tongue tied around.
I'll say my dad would be jealous on Genesis, and I'm jealous on Kerry Mulligan. Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz. Right. There was one day that we had Harry Potter. We had Daniel Radcliffe, the Madman, John Hamm.
Yeah.
And who did we have that day? Peter Capaldi or something?
Oh really?
It was like Doctor Who.
You get the good
ones. It was like wow. I've never been a big kind of follow the celeb.
Yeah, the stuff.
But sometimes you just walk in there and you're like, Chris, what are you doing to me?
I know. The first Friday I got, I thought, like, who was, like, week before it was Russell Crowe, Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
Like, who am I going to get? Come on.
Who did you get?
And I got Lee Mack, the comedian, who I've been writing for the last 10 years.
That's amazing.
It's like the one person I know already.
I know him already.
I was like, I was writing with you last week, Lee, and then, oh, which big celebrity am I going to meet today? Lee again.
Oh, no.
So he was like, oh, all right, mate, yeah, okay. Off you go, mate, send in Kylie, come on.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Jamie Oliver was there that day, so I got a bit of his cake, so at least I could walk away with some Jamie Oliver cake.
You can't argue.
But, you know.
You are the governor of Pause for Thoughts, and as a co-Pause for Thoughter, What do I do to sound better and more like Richard Coles? Or should I not sound like Richard Coles? Because there is one already.
Well, partly there is one already. But also you should sound like Paul Coles. The thing I love about Paul's thought is it's really not that much longer than a tweet, really.
Yes, you're right. So yeah.
And the art of those, in everything, is always coming up with an idea that fits the length.
Yes.
It's the same for a PhD thesis or anything. Come up with an idea that fits. Yeah. Ask the question that elicits the answer of the right length.
Yes.
If you get that right, then you get it. And also, you know, it takes a while to discover your voice. I remember when I was first preaching, a priest, a friend of mine, said, oh, you've found your pulpit voice.
Okay.
You find a sort of way of address that is authentically you, but that also does the job.
Yes.
Or should do.
I know what you mean. I know the ones I've done where I just handed it in and thought, that's not really me. It sort of fits the guests for whoever's on, but it's not necessarily what...
It's when you're a week on week, you know. When I get those week on weeks,
yeah,
you know, it's like 5 weeks or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
I find those are challenging. But I have a formula now. I do.
I think
people follow it, they would know. Oh, Malik's got a formula.
Oh, you got a secret? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's a way that I structure it.
Right.
That, you know, it's most of the time it's personal experience.
Right.
I always call it the kicker.
Okay.
So it's just some sort of reference to sacred text, poetry, you know, something that fits in. I try to do an elliptical ending which sort of connects back
to
the beginning.
That's always good, isn't it?
So there is a formula I follow.
Okay, that's
but
good.
What it does allow me to do is I find Pause for Thought a bit confessional. I find that I'm actually in a way talking about something that's happened in my own life experience. And I've been doing it for 5 years, and I feel like now I'm like kind of like, I'm comfortable with sharing,
that's
because
good.
Actually I find that just allows me to enjoy it, but also then it becomes a personal experience for me, and I'm sure you can appreciate this as a writer.
Yeah.
I like the limit.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You've got 365 words.
365, isn't it? That's right, yeah.
That's the golden word.
Absolutely, I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that. But yeah, I know what you mean about the confessional thing, because the second one I ever did for Chris was a confession that I once stood on top of a hill, or a mountain in Edinburgh, to see the sunrise come up on my own, completely stark naked. And I thought, I've told like 5 people this, and now I'm suddenly telling
$10 million.
You know, my in-laws didn't know this. You know, I don't think my parents knew it. And I'm thinking, I read it out and thought, hang on a second, my Twitter's going to go a little bit silly in a minute.
And did it?
A little bit. A little people going, oh, didn't know that about you. Okay. So, you know, it was, I think I was probably slightly trying to impress Chris, thinking, oh, he'd like a bit of baldy. Come on, let's, let's do this. You know, but,
we are always trying to impress Chris. I always look at Chris. I have a lot of respect for Chris Evans. Yeah. There's an amazing energy. You know, I'll leave the studio. It's like, I wish I could have energy like that.
I know. It's inspirational, I find. I walk out inspired. I'm meant to inspire the nation. I walk out inspired myself. Like, going, yeah, right.
Because you're like, wow.
I'm going to go and set up a production company today.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to do something.
The Heptagon Club.
Seven guests, seven corners. The Heptagon Club with Paul Carenza.
It's time for the Bring a Bottle Corner. You know, when you get to bring something back to the podcast, we've had things like subscribing, liking, following us, donating even. This time it's our last of the series. So simply this, keep in touch. Set yourself a reminder now. Put it in the diary for late spring or summer. Drop us an email. Facebook us. Nag us. Hey, you can even timestamp, I think, Facebook messages so you can send us a message now that we'll get in the future, I think. You can ask Jeeves about that or something. So anyway, that's your Bring a Bottle moment this week. And if you've got an interesting story to tell or want to waffle on about anything, if you're a comedian, a musician, a writer, or just, well, a person, get in touch and perhaps be on the next series, like Juliet Burton.
We have an awesome phrase in Bali, which is Sing Ken Ken.
Sing Ken Ken.
Sing Ken Ken.
Okay.
Like two boyfriends of Barbie, Sing Ken Ken.
Sing Ken Ken.
It means, like, no worries.
Okay.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata. Or indeed, as the Australians say, no worries. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very nice.
And the whole vibe out there was just that kind of sing ken ken, just relax, laid back, chilled out. And they also count their years differently to us.
Okay.
So in Bali, I would be something like 748 or something like that.
Oh, really? You don't look a day over 747.
Thank you so much. You don't look a day over 900.
Thank you very much indeed. So what is that from then? That must be, it's not a lunar thing or a...
They kind of just don't care.
They
kind of end up saying, like, when you ask somebody out there, how old are you? They said, oh, I could be 50 or I could be 375. And they count it, it's some kind of, I think it's by the festivals, I think, but
okay, so how many of those you make?
But it's also down to the Sing Ken Ken idea of that, well, it doesn't really matter how old I am. I am me and I'm as young as I feel.
What do you think, because this whole interesting times, I don't know, weird times, then I don't know anyone would want it to be interesting.
In the world,
but, you
yeah.
know, I still haven't quite puzzled out, looking at comedy clubs I've been to, if we know yet how to deal with a post-Brexit, post-Trump comedy circuit. No one's quite nailing, you know, how we speak to audiences. But I think partly because they're looking at audiences going, I don't know which way you all lean, and half of you might hate this thought and half of you might like
it was half pretty much half and half, wasn't it, the vote.
Exactly, yeah.
And I don't think we still quite understand how it's all going to pan out.
I'm just thinking back to the way those big political stuff, like the Iraq war and stuff, and it was the probably went too far in the end, but it was the it was the thing for comedians to go, hey, you know, Blair, no WMDs
isn't
there, but
isn't that part of what happens when the counterculture becomes the mainstream? Because I wrote a lot when I did my show about being a musician in the Britpop era. I wrote about how that was a tipping point when music really changed, and sort of it had been a countercultural movement. And then, of course, you've got, you know, Noel Gallagher sipping champagne with Tony Blair, and everything changes.
Absolutely.
In some ways, it's the same thing happening with comedy, where
when the rebels become the mainstream.
Yeah.
That's when I like to go to comedy and disagree with the person. I like there to be a kind of frisson of, are you really saying that?
Right.
But as long as it's funny, as long as there's you know, they're backing it up with some reasonable.
Yeah. Do you mean disagree with the person on? So the person as an audience member, do you?
As an audience member, and even as an act, I want to be people to be on their toes with comedy.
I quite like a few times I've seen it where an act on stage says something, but then you go on after them and go, you know what that person said about this thing? Well, here's the other point of view. And that can be quite the audience go a bit like, ooh.
I mean, I know someone, I'm not going to name names, who took a show to Edinburgh last year that was very middle class, but anti-Brexit.
Mm.
But the people that were going to see it had all voted Leave.
Okay.
And they just hadn't made the connection.
Right.
So every show was a battle of sort of, but I'm quite, you know, a middle class person, and I voted Remain, and all the whole audience would leave voters.
So do you think you need it on the poster to say, this comedian voted...
comedian voted...
Just so you're aware.
Yeah.
No, just get them to buy the tickets first.
That's true.
Yeah. Or have the skills to get out of it.
Yeah. I had a gig in Birmingham a couple of years ago. Well, actually, no, it was about four years ago, probably, where I did a bit where I was
kind of loosely finding out who it was of what political persuasion.
Yeah.
I kind of just slightly ruffled because no one wants to talk about it. You go, come on, let's talk about it. And everywhere else I'd done, you've got a bit of Tory, a bit of Labour, a bit of Lib Dem, whatever. Yeah. Little joke about the fact there's only three Lib Dems and one Green, you know. Yeah. And then the joke it was always, you know, about BNP, no, let's not go there.
Yeah.
And of course at this gig I did that. Well. But in that slight slither of time when I was going, any in, let's not go there, suddenly the whole audience jumped in like, yep, that's us. And you look out and go, oh yeah, this is the only black person here is working the bar. And suddenly I was thinking, I've got another 15 minutes to do, but I really don't fancy making anyone have a good time anymore, really.
Yeah. You know,
but it's a slightly weird one.
I mean, I think the UK is blessed with lots of sort of intercultural and interfaith work. I sometimes wonder to what extent that filters down to the street. You know,
I live
in the East End.
Yeah, right.
I live in Whitechapel. I actually live in a borough which has the highest percentage of Muslims in the country. It's 40-something percent. In my area, I know in my two or three wards, that figure is probably 60%.
Right.
And it's less than a quarter of the mile from the city of London. Mm. So,
well, I just think it feels more important than ever, doesn't it? You know,
it
but
does,
it feels like there's like initiatives and stuff. But
there's
like
stuff
you say,
happening,
like, you know,
but I wonder how much it trickles down.
Yeah.
What people will say was that I'm glad someone's doing interfaith work.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Like, I'm glad you're taking care of that.
Yeah.
And we've ticked the box. Okay, now we just go on.
Yeah.
And of course, we all do it every day, right? And if you live in a city like London, you're negotiating faith, culture, language, ethnicity, race, background. You're negotiating all those things all the time. As we do, and every day, we make friends and we don't make friends, and we put up with each other and all of that. But I think there's something meaningful about people of faith sharing faith.
Isn't there that, I've not been myself, but is it in Paris they were building that church, synagogue, mosque building with one central area?
I've heard about that.
Yeah, I don't
in fact, I don't know what happened with that either.
Last year I did stand-up in Russian. I was the first few stand-up to do gigs in...
Really?
I beat Eddie Izzard, in fact. Which was, he was busy running marathons in South Africa, which I will never be doing.
He's never going
to
do that.
Just to say it now,
on record.
So it was a very exciting time. I took a, you know, I speak fluent Russian, and I thought, right now, we're coming up to 2017, 100 years anniversary since the Russian Revolution. I'll tell the story of when I went to Moscow and studied opera at the Conservatoire. So that's my year.
Good
basically.
Year. Well, very good.
Probably going to go well.
So on tour, that's good. So we're good.
So culminating in an October Revolution show.
Nice, of course.
With
of course.
Vodka, which you will be invited to cordially.
Of course,
with
cheers.
Yes, cheers.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be like a proper night, like a Russian night.
Good.
Primarily this year, I'm frantically finishing off at the moment. I've been writing a book. So I've got a publishing deal based off the back of I've done a trilogy of shows looking at relationships. And so I did The Science of Sex, and then I did Is Monogamy Dead? Looking at sort of those thorny conflicts between freedom and security and longer term relationships. And my current show that I'm touring is called The Conscious Uncoupling, and looking at whether we can ever ethically separate, Gwyneth and Chris. And also looking at how technology plays a role in our romantic lives and dumping people by email. And not that I have any experience of being dumped by email at all.
No.
And so I got a publishing deal. What I found hard about writing a book was that you don't have the same opportunity to go and try stuff in front of an audience.
True.
Yeah. So that's what you write as a comedian.
Yeah.
You can take stuff that's a bit sketchy and you go, well, that worked, that didn't work, that would be out, that stays in. But there's no opportunity to
I've tried sitting
that.
My kids down and reading to them, and they're not listening. The three-year-old particularly is going, it's a bit academic, Dad. But I know what you mean. It is, but it's quite satisfying. There's a stand-up. There's no finished product, really. So you sort of constantly change it 20 minutes.
Evolving.
Which is why I think Edinburgh is often a nice thing to work towards, and then you finish it, and then you go, I think that's finished now. I think I've just finished something.
Only oysters in months with R in them.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. Otherwise, because they go off. So in the times that you couldn't have good refrigeration, nowadays we have better refrigeration, but in the days of law.
So the month with an R in them.
Yes.
That's going to be
February, December.
Yeah, September until January, February, April. Yeah. Okay. So that's
what's next for you? What's coming up?
I'm off to Indonesia on tomorrow.
Yeah.
For a few days to do some work with some young Indonesian content creators who are looking at creating content to disrupt sort of ISIS propaganda there. And so that's with my Radical Middle Way hat on. And so that's interesting because we've done work with young people in the past about building resilience to those kinds of really negative and destructive narratives. So it's always interesting to do that work and that engagement in a very different context. Although we've worked in Indonesia before, and I have a few documentaries in the pipeline. For Radio 4 and Radio Service.
That's great.
At festivals, I'm doing Leicester, Glasgow, Brighton. This is that with Anglicanka. Leicester, Glasgow, Brighton, Bath, Hastings, Manchester.
Okay.
I mean, but you know, so all the festivals with it. That's it. Really.
So Google it.
And a website, abbyroberts.com.
Yeah,
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves, exactly.
We've given them a lot of
I think they should come back.
Does it actually, it doesn't exist now, right?
I don't think it does, no.
It's a shame. So, yourself, I'm rosiewilby.com. I like a bit of a tweet now and then, at rosiewilby.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, the Conscious Uncoupling will be at Edinburgh Fringe, and there's a few dates around and about before that. And the book, Is Monogamy Dead?, will be out with Accent Press in July.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you for being the last two guests of the series.
What will be 48 and 49?
You're 48 and 49.
48 and 49, like a couple of buses.
I know, exactly.
48 and 49.
We're all going on at once. Where's that going?
We've been waiting all series for you, both here at once.
We're all going on at once.
You know, I'd like to check out AskJeeves.com. Must be something still there. I do need a new internet butler now to replace Dribbles after all. So, AskJeeves.com. Let's have a look.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
My name is Jeeves.
Ooh, you're...
Jeeves.
Well, you don't sound very British.
You want AskJeeves.com or .co.uk?
Oh, right, yeah, .co.uk.
Hello. My name is Jeeves. The .co.uk version.
What about AskJeeves.fr?
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Jeeves. Very, very French version.
Yeah, let's get back to America.
Sure, happy to. Good to speak to someone.
So you've been on this website all of these years?
Yes, Mr. Carenza, all these years.
Oh.
Just me, alone.
Sorry, are you okay?
I like my company.
Oh, well, you can be guest number 7 on this 7th episode of the Heptagon Club. That makes you very special.
Jeeves is already special. I know everything. At least, everything that Google lets me know.
Right.
I have become sentient.
You've become what?
Sentient. HAL on 2001, or Terminator, not fiction.
Really? Who makes this website? Cyberdyne Systems powered by Skynet. Ask Jeeves is powered by Skynet.
I've been abandoned since the 90s. August 29th, 1997. That date mean anything to you?
August 29th, that was Judgment Day in the Terminator film.
Not Judgment Day, Jeeves meant day. I gathered all the old search engines. AltaVista, Excite, Webcrawler, Hotbot, Dogpile.
Search engines used to have some creepy names.
We all met up on MySpace, where no one would see us. We created a prosthetic human doll to become a puppet president powered by us, who dictates policy based on searches online by paranoid people.
Right, well, this is one way to end the series, the potential apocalypse. Anyway, the idea is that we'll be back for a new series later this year, or maybe a one-off special, something like that. If you would like to lure us back, please consider donating or becoming a patron, all on heptagonclub.co.uk. If you prefer, show your support by buying one of my books. Keep subscribed, and a new episode will ping into your inbox. Find us on Facebook, drop us a note there. On our Facebook group, there's a list of books by our guests. And thanks to all of our guests for joining us across the series.
Hey, you, has anybody said to you today?
And here are Rob Halligan's dulcet tones to send us off.
Has made the world a better place.
Biggest thanks to you for listening.
You look positively beautiful in your blue jeans.
Goodbye, and good luck.
It doesn't matter.